this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
So God created the earth through thinking it. Right? By speaking it. Thank you, Ed. Thank you, Gareth. Hallelujah. So God didn't create the earth by thinking about it or praying about it. He spoke it into being. The same way, I don't know if you ever read that Jesus, he came across a fig tree, wasn't bearing any fruit. What did Jesus do to the fig tree? He cursed it, right? So the tree withered away. He didn't pray for the tree. He didn't think about it or fast about it. He just cursed the tree. He spoke something. He spoke words, and there was an effect of the words happening. God spoke words, and there was a physical reaction to it. I want us to read together out of Proverbs, from chapter 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. I want to read it again. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Two things stand out for me in that portion of scripture. One is that there's power in our tongues, right? Power for life and power for death. And secondly, we choose which fruits we eat. We choose whether we have sweet and juicy fruits or sour and nasty, dead-like fruits, right? So we choose whether in our life we reap and eat the fruits of life or of death through what we say through our mouths. So in a big way, we can blame ourselves for a lot of things because of what we say and what we speak. Do you agree with me? Hallelujah. That makes everything halfway better. Who believes that Jesus taught us to pray for the sick? Most of us. Jesus never taught us to pray for the sick. Do you agree with me? I don't think you do. What did Jesus tell us? He taught us to heal the sick, right? Jesus never taught us pray for the sick, pray for the lepers, pray for the dead. No. Raise them up, heal them, cleanse them. If we go through the Gospels, which is located in the New Testament, or we read through the book of Acts, if you don't know what Acts is all about, Acts is about what the church did, the early church did. A bunch of crazy things. But if you read Acts and we read the Gospels, there's not a single account of someone praying for a sick person. They all heal them. So what does this mean? Why aren't we supposed to pray for the sick people, but just heal them? Don't get me wrong. Praying for the sick is scripturally sound. We should do it. We should fervently pray in all things for the lost, for the church. James 15 says that, you know, if you are sick, you know, go to the elders of the church. They will anoint you, lay hands on you, and the Lord will make you strong and well. So there's a place for people to come to the elders, and they will lay hands on you and pray for you. But Jesus never taught anyone to pray for the sick. As they went out, God just commanded them to walk in the authority that they have received through His name. So what does this tell us? And I believe that the church, the bride of Christ, us, we sometimes either do not know the authority, the power we possess, or we just tend to forget about it sometimes. I want to touch on a couple of things tonight, trying to just bring a different couple of aspects and angles into it. But what I want us to focus on tonight is our spoken words and how serious God is about what we speak and what effect it can have in our own lives and the people around us. In Mark 16, Jesus said that those signs, now he's speaking about healing, speaking about cleansing the lepers, raising the dead. He says, these signs will follow those who believe. Right? So, I believe most of us believe in Christ. We believe in the Bible in a way. So a promise from Jesus is a promise is that for those who believe, these signs will follow them. So there's only one prerequisite for us to walk in these signs and these wonders and seeing a physical change of spoken words. The only prerequisite is belief. I don't know if you know who Todd White is. Kind of a gnarly, crazy guy. Like long dreads, funky Hawaiian t-shirts and stuff. But God is using him mightily just across the globe. And he's got quite a growing healing ministry going on. But Todd White, he said it so well for me. That's what I'm talking about him is... He read this portion of scripture, okay? All these things will happen. Cleanse the lepers, heal the sick, raise the dead. And this will follow you only if you believe. So he took the scripture. He said, like, okay, the Bible must be true. So he believed the Bible and he went out. You know? Faith without works is dead, okay? So the faith, so now he had to go do the works. So he took a couple of months, prayed for 5, 6 or a certain amount of people a day. And these months passed with like not great results whatsoever. Like people didn't get healed. Nothing happened when he prayed for them, when he went out. So he went back to the drawing board where I believe most of us would say, like, okay, Lord, I know, yes, now I know your word is a lie. It's not truth because I did this and now I look like an idiot and blah, blah, blah. But he went back to God and he said, like, okay, Lord, these things didn't happen, but you said these signs will follow for those who believe. So there must be something wrong with the way in which I believe. So he said, God, change the way that I believe. And God did it. And now you can YouTube him. He's got some crazy testimonies and things that he's seen. Just by going out, not praying for people. Just saying, listen, whatever's wrong, just be healed in the name of Jesus. And he got a certain revelation of who Jesus is, a certain revelation of the truth of the word, and he believes in that, and simply cause and effect the truth of the Bible. Now these signs follow him where he goes. Matthew 10, verse 7 to 8 says, "And proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying. Give without pain." Let's not complicate this matter. Let's take Jesus at his word. He said, just as you go, do these things. And if you believe Jesus, these things will follow us. But now I want to draw this back a bit away from the signs, but just to what we say and what we speak. If we believe in Jesus and we believe in his word, let's go to the example of where Jesus was sleeping on the boat with the disciples. They were busy freaking out, full of fear, because they were in the middle of a storm. They were about to die, right? Dum, dum, dum. Still awake, awesome. So they woke up Jesus out of fear, out of stress, out of, you know, just worry. And then it says to Jesus, okay, like, can you wake up? We're busy dying here. So he got up and Jesus prayed to God and the storm went away. Nope. Spoke to the storm. He rebuked the storm. The storm quieted down. So he knew his authority that he had in the Father. Spoke over the storm. Storm quieted down. All of a sudden, everyone's eyes were open because there's no longer clouds around them. They could see where they needed to go and then they went. So they were more effective just as soon as this whole cloud of confusion and fear and death and rampage was removed from their life because of the word spoken into the situation. It was taken away. The same way, if we believe and understand the authority that we have received and only received through Jesus Christ, you know what this means? Whatever storm is going on in your life, whatever breakthrough you are waiting for, whatever difficult situation you are facing, God has given you the full authority just to speak to the thing, and it will go. And if it doesn't go, it doesn't mean God doesn't love you. You just need to change the way in which you believe. These signs will follow those who believe. There's power in the tongue. Power to speak life. Power to speak death. We choose which fruits we will eat. I believe that we all know that God places us in various kinds of seasons. But it's many times our fault for being in that season too long. Because we can't just fathom the thing that God is teaching us or see beyond what He's doing. Because we can't see beyond it because there's a cloud blocking our view. God is wanting us to stand up as children, as His children, and understand the authority He has given us so that we can just speak life, speak death into the situations. Just as we are called to pray without ceasing, that means 24/7 we should pray, the same way we are called to proclaim and declare and speak into situations. I want to take us to another example, to another space in time which God just laid on my heart. And it's in John chapter 2. If we can just get it on the screen, because I want to stand here for a while. And just a bit of background before we read there. So Jesus' ministry started after He got baptized. Right? That was when He was 30 years old. John the Baptist baptized Him. Then as we read in Mark, immediately Jesus was taken into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan for 40 days. After the 40 days, Jesus returned to where John the Baptist was, spent 2 days there, saw Philip and Nathanael, having built a relationship with them already. So then they were like, then Jesus said, okay, now follow me. So they followed Him. So this is on the third day, speaking about the third day after Jesus returning from the wilderness. They went to Galilee, Jesus and Philip and Nathanael, to a wedding at Cana. And the mother of Jesus, her name is Mary, was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with His disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to Him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." And His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever He tells you." I want us to look at that portion of Scripture just for a while. So Jesus was just baptized, just been tempted. Now He's in Cana at this wedding. And the weddings happened a bit differently to the way they do now. Those happened at least 2 days, up to 7 days. So it was a party, right? I'm getting married in 4 weeks and 5 days. I think we should make it a week-long wedding. That'll be amazing. Gareth will pay for everything. He's an engineer. Hallelujah for engineers. And girls, he's still single, so you need to grab him before he pays for my wedding. Hallelujah, let's get back to the scripture. So Jesus just got baptized, so His ministry is like about to start. I think Jesus... And this is what I believe. I think Jesus in His mind knew that somewhere something is going to happen. But Jesus went to the wedding not with an expectation for His ministry to start there. That's why He's like, "Women, what does this have to do with me?" That wasn't, it may sound disrespectful, but it really wasn't. If you look in context, it's actually like, "Dear mother, what does this to do with me?" Like, it's not disrespectful. Oh, funny. So Mary came to Jesus. Hallelujah. And said, "Okay, it's a big problem." And I concur with Mary. Big problem. The wine ran out. And being a wedding, 2 to 7 days, the bridegroom's parents, they had to provide like the drink, the space and drunk, you know, everything. The kabuti. And let's say the wedding was 7 days long. If the food and the wine ran out by day five, it was a big, like, embarrassment for the family. But the guest was also, like, offended. Like, "How dare you?" Like, they really get offended because they planned these weddings like so long ahead, years in advance, and save up and have all this wine and all these things. So these guys, obviously, they weren't diligent stewards, so the wine ran out, or the people really just drank a lot. Either way, the wine was not supposed to run out. So Mary, and we suppose that she was part of the people organizing the wedding, otherwise she wouldn't have really cared, but she, like, seeing that the wine was finished, came to Jesus and said, "Wine is finished." Okay? We all know what happened then. Jesus performed the miracle, told the servants of the wedding, "Go take these 6 jars, like 20 to 30 gallon type jars, and then they used to fill these with water to wash people's hands and feet." So for them to go fill that with water for drinking, it's like just weird in its own. But Jesus told them, "Go and get it, and then take it to the people." And they did exactly. They were completely obedient, specifically obedient to what Jesus has told them to do. And I actually just want to read it from my notes. Jesus tells them, "Fill the jars of water." And then the servants, and they filled them up to the brim. Second, Jesus said, "Now draw some out and take it to the steward of the feast." And then the servants, they took it. Okay? Scripture. So they did exactly what Jesus told them to do, complete obedience. And then what happened? The water turned into wine, and then the guy in charge of the wedding was like, "Wow, yes, you guys are amazing, because you have left the best wine until now," because the chief people would give the best wine first, and then people would get drunk so they wouldn't taste the bad wine later. But he was like, "Yes, you gave the best wine until now." So Jesus made really awesome wine, and the guy was happy. Okay? Miracle. Amazing. But I don't want us to look at the miracle, which was the beginning of Jesus' ministry, his first miracle. What I want us to look at is Mary speaking to Jesus. What did Mary do here? I believe every parent is a prophet. Right? You either prophesy life or destiny or purpose of your children, or you just don't. And I think you're rather a bad parent. But Mary, I believe she knew Jesus the best of any person. Like, Jesus wasn't married, so his wife didn't know him really well. But my mother really knows me well. I know your mothers really know you guys, like, well as well, especially if they are loving and caring, all of those things, which Mary was. So she knew Jesus rather well. And she looked at the situation knowing Jesus, and she spoke releasing of Jesus' ministry to this woman. Do you see what's happening here? Jesus and Mary knew exactly what was going on. And we know Jesus didn't do anything apart from what the Father told him to do. So Mary, in what she said, that changed the heart of our Father. And in that situation, which caused Jesus to say, "Okay, do this." Because Mary simply walked away and said, "Do what Jesus tells you to do." Like, she knew. She spoke destiny and releasing of Jesus' ministry in this instance, in that moment. Like, she had an ability to see what was going on, the potential of Jesus, knowing that he was ready, even though perhaps him sitting there didn't think that his calling would be, his ministry would start there. She knew it, and then she spoke it, and then it happened. The same way, God has given us the authority to speak things into being, to release it into the people's lives around us. As parents, you have the ability to release your kids into stuff, especially when they don't believe they're ready yet. Like what happened here. All of us are leaders, every single one of us sitting here. Willingly or unwillingly, whether you are Christian or not, whatever idea people have of you, but what they link to you is they look to you and then they form this idea of that is actually how it's supposed to do. So we set an example for the people around us, whether we want to or not, whether we know it or not, we set an example. And in the same way, God has given us an authority for the people in our lives and around us to speak and release things, to speak life or to speak death. if PT is a small group leader and they like are needing to multiply, and Kus is in the small group and PT thinks Kus is going to be an awesome small group leader, but Kus is like, yes, no, I'm never going to be ready. Like, I'm not called to do this. But PT is just like, Lester, Kus, you're going to lead next week's small group, and that's it. Speaks and releases, and this is done in wisdom and through God's wisdom, but he speaks that position, that role over Kwesi, and then Kwesi will next week lead a small group. Will he be perfect in it? Definitely not. Will he grow and lead, and will we help them grow and lead in it? Definitely. Only Jesus was perfect in all that he did. But God has called us as leaders to pull people up around us, to speak roles and destinies and visions over them, which they do not yet see or believe themselves, so they can walk into the fullness of it. In the same way, we need to take authority of our own lives and speak and declare those things as well. I want to encourage you, just on a side note, seeing that we're all leaders. Planted Conference is in two weeks' time. From Friday night in the hall. Saturday, there will be lunch. And then church goes on as normal on Sunday. But I want to encourage you, if you haven't registered for the Planted Conference yet, do so. Because that is where we really get equipped as leaders. We receive an impartation, but we also receive an understanding of how this leading thing works and what it looks like. I want to encourage you to also just bring friends along, especially those friends next to you or in your small group or at your work or whatever, that don't believe that they have any cause in other people's life. Bring them, because God can activate them. Say, listen, the guys in the cubicle next to you at work, Leicester, Yanni, I see so much potential in you. God is going to use you to lead people to him. Come to this conference with me. Guarantee you, Yanni's life will be changed. Guaranteed. If you understand the authority of which you're speaking. Another angle, I believe we as Christians, we walk, we talk, we believe and we pray in response to the revelation we have of God our Father. So we only see God and we only experience God as an angry and righteous judge. Our lifestyle of a Christian will reflect that. We'll be so fearful of doing things wrong, we will not really live in the freedom to just be full of joy and love. Of course, there will just be this expectation of, this is just, you know, I need to be holy, so I'm not leaving my house today. And really just walking your life as a Christian in response to the revelation of God. But also, God is angry, God is a righteous judge. But you know what? God is love. God is Daddy. He's our Abba Father. So as soon as we have those elements and understanding of God being that as well, immediately it changes the way in which we follow Christ. It changes the way we walk the walk and talk the talk and pray. Because then all of a sudden we start to understand our identity in Him. Sonship, daughtership. And things change because we are just set free from whatever mistakes our earthly parents did and whatever, and love and acceptance we didn't have. And then God just comes and fills it because we understand Him as it were. And then we are more free, and then we can cry a lot as men. Because we feel loved. Now I want to cry. I don't want to let it out. Because as soon as we start to understand God's love, it changes the way we see things and we experience things. So it has a direct correlation to our, let's call it our maturity in Christ. I was there not too long ago, having grown from the place of just praying for people to go pray for the sick. I've grown to the place of actually just going and just, God has dealt with fear of man in my life, so I'm like, I don't care what any of you guys think, just by the way, I really don't. But no offense to you. I love all of you. I only care what God thinks of me. But then I actually was at this place to actually pray for the sick. But then I was like, what's wrong with you? Okay, yes, okay, Lord. This is a big one. Okay. Lord, if it's your will, God, please come through. If you love this guy, Lord, just please, God, please, Lord. Almost like not begging, but chatting with God, that just finding out first if he actually wants to do this, and then start to pray, but not doing anything differently. And God just, he rebuked me so much. It was like, you infant. Hallelujah. But what happened is I received a different revelation of God, and I started to understand the authority that God has given. Not that we need to earn or buy, we can't buy it or do anything. God has given it. So now when I pray for a person and he's blind, I'm like, eyes open in the name of Jesus. It's not opening. In the name of Jesus, open. And then, eyes opening. Not because of who I am or because of my understanding, but because of my belief. But because my belief is special, my belief actually just means my revelation of who Christ is. The more accurate our revelation of who God is in our lives, the more accurate and successful Christians we are. I know it's not God's will for us to have a 1 in 10,000 hit rate of healing the sick. No. It's not God's will for us to sit in our hole and feel sorry about ourselves because we can't see past the storm that is surrounding us through this world and influences and things we have let in or things we didn't let in, but it's there. It's not God's will for us to sit there and to just struggle. It's not his will. It's not what he died for. God died so that we can have life and have it more abundantly. That's complete life. That's freedom. That's liberty. That's crying. That's jumping and shouting, making fools of yourself because it's fun, because you don't care, because you're actually dead and Jesus is alive. Jesus died so that we can understand who he is, what he's done, so that we can have an authority, knowing that what we say affects stuff. So if your life is really sucky and bad and just depressing or whatever, to say, God, just show me where it has been my fault of just speaking things over myself or allowing other people to speak things over myself. Then repent, start speaking life. And if the friends around you, if God opens your eyes to have them speak like death into your situation, just punch them in the mouth. Say, shut up. You will not speak death into my life. If you're not okay with that, I'm not your friend anymore. We need to take authority of what we let into our lives. You guys understand my heart behind this. Don't go punching people. Sometimes we need to, really, but I didn't say it. We can edit that out of the recording. Hallelujah. We need to take charge and authority of our own lives because God has given us the ability to do it. He's given us his authority. You know what his authority is? Jesus is the name above all names, King above all kings, Lord above all lords. Matter what CEO you are of whatever thing, God is above it. No matter how big Satan is, God is above it. You know what Satan, he was struck down like lightning to earth. So he's not even up there anymore. He's like down here. Where is he? He's under my foot. Because God has given us the authority to trample on scorpions. Satan is a bloody scorpion. Matthew 12, verse 33 to 37. A tree is known by its fruit. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. By your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. If you do not know this or do not believe it, let me break it to you. We will all be at judgment day. It's not just for the sinners. Every single person will be there. We will all be judged. and we will all be justified or condemned by the things we have said. We're going to have to give an account of every single word or idle word that we have spoken. Like hectic. We are hectic. What have we said in traffic? What have we said on the rugby field? What have we said when you've broken your nail? Yeah, you're not free of this, ladies. Judging you and all. I'm not judging you. But I don't want to read the scripture as condemning of us. But you know what? It should bring a fear into our lives. Not a fear of, yes, what, I need to watch what I say. But a fear of God so that we do watch what we say. Because we're going to have to give an account. And if there are a bunch of stuff that you've said, you know what? It's too late. Just repent and just really just say, Lord, help me to speak life. Help me to proclaim life, proclaim destiny, proclaim callings, releasing of callings, declaring it over and into people's lives, because that is why God has actually given us a tongue so that we can speak, that we can proclaim. Amen? And this is what God wants us to understand tonight. There is good and evil, there's power in the tongue. And we choose which fruit we eat in our lives and the people around us. Is our choice. God has given us the authority. He's given us the ability. He died for us. He's given us a tongue. Now with fear and trembling, we need to start speaking. But the Bible also says that a fool seems wise when he's quiet. Sometimes we need to shut up a bit more. And sometimes we need to speak up more. We trust God for the wisdom to see situations. See where he has called us to speak into, and he has called us just to not say anything, because we will be judged for every single word we have spoken. So the band can come to the front. I want us to stand and start to close off.
You move mountains when you speak, you give power to the weak, you raise dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org. Or find us on facebook.com/Shofar Pretoria. There is no one like